It's 3:30 here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We talked a little spring game yesterday with David Lawrence. Well, we talked a lot of spring game with David Lawrence because nobody eats, sleeps, and breathes Kansas football more than our guy, DL. But John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant may try to give him a run for his money. He's a good second best. We bring him on now. John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant onto the program. John, I know the first thing a lot of people are looking out for in the spring game, regardless of the team, regardless of the program all over the country, is the quarterback competition, especially this year for KU, because you got two guys competing for that starting job who one of them wasn't even on campus a year ago. One of them was a third stringer heading into the spring game. So what was your initial takeaway from that quarterback competition between Carter Stanley and Peyton Bender?
Well, you know, having seen him throw a little bit in practice and obviously, you know, watching Bender a lot on film when he was at Washington State and then at Itawamba College, I thought they were both what I expected them to be. You know, Carter Stanley looks like he's more, you know, he had some rushing yards and attempts, and he looks like the guy who's going to get out and try to get to the edges and throw on the run. That's his game, kind of scrambling and making plays, which is, you know, that's when he was successful last year when you look at some of the times when he was in a quarterback late in the season. And then Peyton Bender is, you know, he's your true air raid, Mike Leach, sit in the pocket type guy, you know, scan the field, find where the openings are going to be, quick release. And, you know, with Peyton Bender, I think whichever guy, Nick, it'll be interesting because I think the offenses will change a little bit. I know they always tell you that air raid doesn't, but I think it will, because I think Bender, with him, what they'll do is those little short flares out to the running backs in the flat where they go get, you know, 3 or 4 yards, they'll use that as their running plays. Whereas when Stanley's in the game, I think it'll be more of a mobile call where your quarterback will actually get out and do some things with his legs. So I think it's a kind of a contrast of styles, and Bender's your pocket guy, Stanley's more your guy on the move, and that's kind of what we saw in the spring game.
Do you think those contrasting styles hurts or helps any one guy in any particular way?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Doug Meacham, as an offensive coordinator, he was at Oklahoma State, where they've always been more traditional in the pocket, throw it around. Then he went to Houston and kind of did a combination of both. Then he goes to TCU, and he's got Boykin, and they convert him to the quarterback. They turn him into a great quarterback. And you saw when you watched Boykin, he did a lot with his legs. So the one thing Doug Meacham has done as an offensive coordinator, he's in that air raid system, he's had both types of quarterbacks. And I think that's a big plus here. And I'm just throwing this out as an example. Let's say Peyton Bender wins a starting job, okay? And let's say week 3 he gets dinged up. And then they got to go to Stanley. Well, Doug Meacham has worked both styles of offense in the air raid with a drop back guy and a mobile guy. So I think he'll be ready and can tweak his system.
Do you think we have any indication on if either one guy has an inside track, and how tight do you expect this competition to be over the summer and even heading into the beginning of the season?
Well, whether the coaches internally are sitting there saying, hey, this is a guy who's got the lead or the slight lead, you know, they're not going to let us know that. You know, I'm giving a slight edge to Bender, because I think with the air raid that they would like to do, you know, it's so much depends on accuracy and, you know, just those little short passes they throw out to the side where the wide receiver gets some one-on-one blocking and they try to get 5-6 yards like Baylor does a lot. I kind of watched them throw some of those in practice, and Bender just seems really accurate at doing that. So, you know, maybe a slight edge to him. You know, when I've talked to a couple of the coaches there, Nick, they've been pretty clear that, number one, spring football is 14 practices and a spring game, okay? They gain nothing by putting out a depth chart. They gain nothing by telling us who is leading at positions, because what happens is, here in about a week, the coaches are going to go out on the road recruiting. And then the kids are going to start going in the weight room, and they're going to go back and do their 7-on-7. And they're going to do that through the summer until fall camp starts. Well, those coaches want those kids competing and fighting and thinking that they're all in a spot to be a starter at their position. You start putting out depth charts and naming some kid third string, now you've gotten into a situation where maybe that kid doesn't work as hard in the summer. You know, maybe even some kids think about, hey, maybe I'll transfer or whatever. So right now, you know, Todd Bradford, the linebackers coach, I asked him point blank, you know, any guy stepping up in the lead for that second spot next to Dineen or in the back, he said, you know, we gain nothing by saying that. We gain nothing by telling that information out there because we want them working hard. So, you know, I don't think so right now. Like I said, if I had to flip a coin, I'd give maybe a slight edge to Bender. But outside of that, this competition is going to go into fall camp.
Talking to John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, and it does seem like quite a stark contrast from where they were at a year ago going into the fall camp with Ryan Willis and Montel Cozart. You didn't have extremely high hopes about either one of these guys. You can get pretty optimistic about their quarterback situation. How imperative do you think it is, though, based off the first 2 years and the fluctuation between who was taking the snaps, that they do establish some stability at that position regardless of who ends up winning the job?
Well, you know, I think it's important, but I also think it's important to have some depth and a guy you can depend on as a backup. You know, Stanley showed he was ready to come in and play coming out of that backup role. You know, Nick, I don't know what the stats are, but my guess is in Power 5 football, for a quarterback to make it through the entire year and play every snap, every game, it's probably, you know, the percentages are probably fairly low, which just as often as guys get hurt or, you know, dinged up through a game. I mean, you know, a lot of times they're always bringing in a backup guy at some point in the year. So, I mean, having stability is good. Having two of them is even better, which I think KU has right now, is they know whoever the guy that's not the starter, I really do believe, you know, they believe in who that guy is.
Where does Tyreek Starks fit into the equation? He doesn't look to be a part of that competition, but I know that he's got some physical traits. What do you think's kind of the future for Tyreek Starks?
Well, I think the future is learn and keep learning. I think, you know, he was able to get by and take Warren Easton to a state championship down in Louisiana based off raw ability. And I think he was able to, you know, he's such a good athlete that, you know, you can do some things in high school to get by if your pocket breaks down. You know, he was good enough to slip between defenders and go get a 12-yard gain. You know, he was good enough to, you know, fit balls in certain positions. But I don't know if that was as much of a structured offensive system as the air raid. And that's okay, Nick, because you know what? If you look at most programs throughout the country, what are your freshmen and redshirt freshmen and true freshman quarterbacks doing? They got a ball cap on. They're holding a clipboard. You know, they're taking notes. I mean, that's how it should be. When you really look at the established programs, hey, every now and then you'll get some guy that comes through and he is just talented as can be. You know, Florida State started one last year. But for the most part, you're hoping that your junior or senior is leading your quarterback group.
John Kirby of Jayhawk Slant. I'm Nick Schwartz. Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Let's move on from the quarterbacks. Was there a particular positional group or area of the team that stood out to you on Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that on the offensive side of the ball, I would say wide receiver. And I think it's going to be really fun come August to track how this thing is going and who's winning positions. I mean, you've got some receivers who are very capable of making plays at the Big 12 level, and they're 2 and 3 deep. So you've got big guys, you've got guys who are fast, you've got mid-sized guys who've got good hands, you've got new guys that are fighting to get in there, you've got guys that are returning who've played football. So that wide receiver spot, you know, they've got them labeled as the H and the Y and the X. But, you know, in the end, Doug Meacham said the four best receivers will be on the field. And Ben Johnson, you know, not used a whole lot last year. It seems like they targeted him quite a bit in the spring game. So now, you know, you throw that position in there, and you're going to have some competition. I mean, there's going to be guys on that three deep that you would look at years past at KU and say, hey, he could play.
Dalen Charlotte kind of made his pseudo KU debut. What'd you think of his performance on Saturday?
Well, he's always been talented. I remember watching him back when Rivals was part of the Under Armour All-American game, and I remember him returning a punt for a touchdown in that All-American game, and I was thinking, golly, that guy's good. I remember looking him up and going, ah, of course he's going to Alabama. But, you know, so, you know, listen, Nick Saban sat there, and it was funny. I talked to him about this. He met with Saban and his parents, and they tried to convince him to stay enough. his parents had to stay overnight in Tuscaloosa. They came up there. They thought they were going to get him. He was going to get his transfer, and they were going to be gone. Saban made them wait overnight, met with him again the next day to try to convince him until he realized, you know, he really wanted to leave. So Nick Saban doesn't try to get kids to stay unless he thinks they're going to be pretty decent.
Were you disappointed by the lack of production on the running game, or is that kind of to be expected in that spring game format?
Well, in an air raid system, you know, I think they wanted to throw it a little bit, especially when they had the wind. You know, I thought the ball was in the air even more. I wasn't disappointed at all. I think Meacham's going to be fairly balanced. I don't think he's going to be someone where, you know, he's going to be predictable. Now, how much that is handing it off or how much it is throwing, I don't know. Because with someone like Bender, you might use your quarterback plays or your quote-unquote run-pass options really as just swing passes in the backfield to try to pick up 3 or 4 yards, which kind of Mike Leach, you know, did it when he was at Texas Tech with some of those drop-back quarterbacks. So, you know, I don't think so. Now, what's going to be interesting, Nick, with the running backs is, again, this is another competition that in August it's going to be interesting because Octavius Matthews, who was at the spring game, I saw him, and boy, I'll tell you, he's every bit 6'1", 200-some pounds. You know, he was committed to Auburn for a long time, so he signed with Kansas. And then Dom Williams was there. You know, he's an all-state kid out of Texas, you know, 4-star running back. So those guys both enter the competition come August, and that'll be interesting too because this Matthews is talented. And in a perfect world, what you'd like to see happen is I think you'd like to see Dom Williams redshirt. For as good and as talented as Williams is, it would be nice if you feel you have three backs who are pretty good to let that kid put the hat on and watch and learn over on the sidelines and then have him for 4 years to play on the field.
I know David Beatty and company had a handful of recruits on hand for that game on Saturday, and a couple of them were apparently so enthralled they decided to commit to Kansas right then and there. What can you tell us about not just the latest guys to sign up for KU next year, but how this class is shaping up for next season?
Well, you know, they're off to a good start. You know, they just picked up to Valence Hunt out of Texas. He's right on the border being a 4-star wide receiver. So I think that took the overall recruiting ranking to number 12 or 13 in the country right now. So, you know, this has been a phenomenal start. I mean, if you'd have told somebody back in January that, hey, just want you to know, come April, KU's going to have a top 15 recruiting class for 2018, you could have probably, you know, won a lot of money throwing that bet out there. So, you know, they've done a great job in Louisiana. You know, they've got those. They've done a nice job locally, too. They got Cartez Crook Jones as a defensive end out of Grandview. And they had some local kids there that I think Kansas is sitting pretty good. And I don't know if they're going to get them, but some highly recruited kids that I think KU's in good shape. So everything's looking pretty good right now.
Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. We know the standouts up front in Dorrance Armstrong and Daniel Wise. I think it's pretty safe to say that's going to be one of the strengths, if not the strength, of this team. But can you see that being one of the better units in the Big 12 this year?
Yeah, I do. I think it'll be one of the better defensive lines Kansas has put on the field, you know, in a long time. You know, I still remember as a student watching Gilbert Brown and Mama Longa and Sylvester Wright and, you know, some of those double field, that was a heck of a front four. And, you know, even back, Nick, when they had the Orange Bowl team, you know, I ask people this all the time. I said, name me the 2 starting defensive ends on KU's Orange Bowl team. It's amazing how many people don't get one, and very few ever name both of them, okay? I think this defensive line could be every bit as good or better. It's more talented than the Orange Bowl defensive line that they put out there that year. So, you know, there's a lot of competition at nose tackle, which is a good thing because those big guys get worn out, and there's a lot of guys, and I'm just going off the top of my head, but E.C. Holani, and then, you know, I thought the kid Holmes from Hutch did a great job in there this week. And, you know, D. Isaac Davis, he started, I think, 11 of the 12 games, and he's going to be fighting for a starting spot. And Kellen Ash was active, and you got Jackie Vizier. I mean, there are some guys in there, and that nose tackle, the inside spot, that it's going to be deep, and they're going to be able to rotate bodies. So I think this is one of the most some of the best quality and yet best depth Kansas has had at their defensive line in a long time.
And Mike Lee obviously made his presence felt with a couple of hard hits. But outside of that, it does seem like that's a position group that has some relative unknowns talking about the secondary. What do you think is the ceiling for this team's secondary in 2017?
Well, that's it. You just named the biggest question mark, I think, on the team. And, you know, first of all, you got to find somebody to replace Fish Smithson. And what some people don't realize, not only was he was a good player, he was a good leader. And, you know, he made a lot of the calls. He made sure people were in the right spot. He was experienced. He knew what to expect. So, you know, somebody's going to have to step up and kind of be the vocal leader from what he was. And then the next thing you got to do, you know, I saw Marnez Ogletree at the spring game. And he and I joked, and we were sitting there talking down on the field. You know, I told him, I said, you know, Marnez, you barely came out of the game. And he goes, hey, me or Brandon Stewart barely came out of a game. Think about that, Nick. In the Big 12, where you got teams trying to run 80 to 90 plays a game, Brandon Stewart and Marnez Ogletree barely came out of a football game as corners. I mean, that's crazy to think. So, you know, to replace those two guys who played all that football, you know, I don't know if that was indicative that they always played, that there was no, they didn't feel comfortable with anybody behind them, or that they just felt those guys were in good enough shape to go the whole game. But that is the spot that they're really going to miss, is the safety spot with Fish and then the two corners, and they're going to have to find somebody. I think Hassan Defense has kind of stepped up and shown he could be one of those guys. And the other thing they had to deal with this spring is the injury bug. I mean, they had three guys that I think they hoped to see compete at corner all kind of dinged up and really couldn't go full speed through the spring. So that's going to be the big question mark going into fall camp and the defensive secondary.
He's John Kirby. Check out his work at jayhawkslant.com. John, I appreciate the time. I love your insight, and I'm sure we'll be catching up again as the season approaches.
All right, Nick, take care, buddy.